Today, the governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper, signed into law the sports wagering bill. I'm sure it has a fancy name, but I don't know it, and that's okay. We will be allowed, my guess is probably, well, maybe on January 8th, I doubt it. But 8 months from now, we'll be allowed to wager on sports. Chip Patterson, Cover 3 podcast, CBS Sports, joins us as he does every Wednesday. How are you, my friend? We're going to place bets here.
I heard that's a thing that's done often here on the Adam Gold Show.
I'm
happy to participate.
Very, very concentrated little portion, but we're going to expand it today. It actually comes up in about 25, 30 minutes. All right, let's, just in the spirit, because I know you guys do this on the Cover 3 podcast. You do win totals. That's the easiest thing for people to comprehend. I do have a question, since I have not done this yet. When I look at the win totals, does that include whatever bowl game you might win or lose?
It does not. These are regular season wins.
Oh, man. This is going to alter. This might alter my selections here.
No, it's not.
You're right. It won't.
It's an ACC team in a bowl game. Don't actually think that that's going to be an extra one. You can't count on it.
Oh, man. What a shot. It's not like we're the Big Ten.
No, the Big 12 was actually the one that had the egg on its face, because the Big 12, gets all the credit, and I'm among those giving it credit for how all the games are so competitive.
Right.
The teams are not that far apart from each other. It's so entertaining. You never know who's going to come out on top. And then all those Big 12 teams went and tripped over their feet in the postseason last year. So, no, the ACC is not wearing the bowl game dunce cap right now. Actually, thanks to the Duke Blue Devils and others, there were some W's on the board.
We're going to get to that. We have a couple of Duke things here. So we're not going to do all 14 teams in terms of win total. We're going to do the couple of the heavyweights. I'm going to start with the two heaviest of the heavyweights. And we'll go Florida State. What I was looking at has Florida State over or under 10 wins in the regular season. What would you take there?
It's a push to underplay for me, and you wait to see if the market can give you a 9.5. The way that I look at it for Florida State, and those who've heard me on the Cover 3 podcast understand that when we go through this exercise, I do a win-loss toss-up analysis where I'm going through and, your wins count, your losses count. Then of your toss-ups, normally I need to see about half to be able to get us to this number. So Florida State wins Southern Miss, Boston College, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Duke, Wake, Pitt, Miami, North Alabama. Wake is one I could throw to toss up just because of what the Demon Deacons were able to do to them last year in a win. But other than that, I'm not so sure. But I think that LSU as a toss up is being generous to Florida State.
I agree.
I think that LSU is very, very good. And if I had to pick that game right now, I would pick the Tigers to win it. And then I think that Clemson in Death Valley is a certified L. So with one loss, one toss-up, and another fringe toss-up, if you're going to give me 10, no chance I'm seeing 11-1. So that's why I say push to under. If you get a 9.5, I don't hate an over.
You said Florida State would beat Duke. Florida State would lose to Clemson. I think it's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to come down to tiebreakers. I'll just leave that joke there. Clemson, I agree with you, by the way, push to under for Florida State. Clemson, 9.5. Wins.
Come on. Yeah. Lock it in, like, right now. Bite it up. I've already seen it move to 10 in some markets. This is going to be a classic overreaction to the horrible just win the ACC again season. Oh, man. they've fallen off the face of the earth. It's so funny. I mean, we have been sitting down and we've been doing these drafts on the Cover 3 podcast, the quarterback draft, the wide receiver tight end draft, pass catchers, the Oklahoma drill draft.
And I saw that.
Clemson players keep popping up. Florida State players aren't. Clemson's high-end talent is better than anybody in the ACC. You look at Bud Elliott's blue chip ratio. What percentage of your last four recruiting classes are 4 stars or 5 stars? Clemson's right there behind Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State. They're above 70%. I mean, it is still such a talented roster. Any steps forward with Garrett Riley as offensive coordinator and Cade Klubnik taking over as the quarterback are going to lead to, you know, more consistency on the offensive end. They sneakily weren't horrible on that end last year, but I 9.5 is disrespectful. Clemson to them.
9.5. I think they'll get to 10, but I may look. You know way more than I do about this. I am not bullish on their offense at all. I have not seen a playmaker at wide receiver now for what, 3 seasons. The offensive line to me has been no better than okay over this period of time. I would love to know that Clemson can line it up and run it on you, because I think it would make everything else so much easier. But I think even go back to the Travis Etienne days, and they were even at that point getting most of their explosion plays from Etienne out of the backfield in terms of throwing it.
Like they and that's what Will Shipley's going to do. Like, my pushback is that Clemson's never been elite in the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
They've had a few very good players, and they've had guys that are like the right sizes and weights, but it is not, you know, we are not seeing loads and loads of offensive linemen go from Clemson onto the NFL.
Not like Georgia. You know,
Clemson has a lot of players from the NFL. Clemson has a lot of top players that are in the NFL right now. Clemson also non-conference schedule, FAU, Charleston Southern, Notre Dame, but in Death Valley, and South Carolina. And I would expect the revenge angle to that South Carolina game could be interesting to follow after that winning streak was snapped last year by Shane Beamer. I see this as an 11-1 team at worst. I think the Tigers are going to be back in the college football playoff.
11-1 at worst. I know one loss coming. UNC, 8.5 wins.
Oof.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
So here's the way that I've got it with my win-loss toss-up analysis. I've got wins App, at Pitt, Syracuse, Miami, Virginia, Georgia Tech, and Campbell. I've got my losses at Clemson, at NC State. I've got my toss-ups, South Carolina, Minnesota, and Duke. Here's why that's interesting, because the challenge for this North Carolina football team is going to be maintaining its focus, having some injury luck, because the games that are going to decide it are going to be those ones at the very end. Finishing the year at Clemson, at NC State is kind of brutal.
And Duke is right before then.
Duke is right before that. Yeah. Like, I think November is really, really tough for the Tar Heels. I mentioned South Carolina and Minnesota, those non-conference games at the beginning of the year, South Carolina and Charlotte, Minnesota at home. Minnesota's a good football team. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they've got the firepower to be able to keep up with North Carolina. But at 8.5, I'm a underplay. I think they've got big 8-4 energy. It's a tricky schedule.
I'm with you. That I also have under 8.5. All right, NC State 6.5. I'll tell you right now, I have over 6.5.
Because what are the surefire losses? Notre Dame and Clemson, right?
Yeah.
Like, those are the only ones. And this is like what's really nice for NC State is you play all the Virginias. Even the Military Institute, okay? The key to stacking wins in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
I know, I see what you did there. Key.
There you
VMI,
go.
Key. I like it.
No, but the key is to play Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Georgia Tech. Like, that's if you want, and maybe Boston College, throw it in there too if you want an extra cherry. But as many games as you can play against those four teams, that is the way that you stack wins in this conference this year. So the fact that you've got Virginia, Virginia Tech, VMI, UConn, Marshall, again, like I could throw North Carolina in the toss-up category, but boy, there's a lot of toss-ups. I think Louisville's a toss-up. I think Duke is a toss-up. I think Miami is a toss-up. I think Wake Forest is a toss-up. And it's just really going to come down to the massive exodus of veterans that this team and this program saw after last season. Now, what does that next group look like? I am inclined to take the over here because of a trust in the history of program development that we have seen over the last couple of years. But you said 6.5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 6.5 is an over.
That, to me, 7-5 is what they are, right? I'm not trying to be flippant about it, but this has a 7-5 season, or maybe even 8-4 season written all over it. Duke, 6.5. Pardon me while I double down.
With another over?
Hell yeah. They're winning the opener.
Okay, so they're not winning the opener. That is one of the certified losses.
No, they're winning the opener, Chip.
All right, so Clemson, Notre Dame, Florida State, Louisville. are the ones that I've got as losses. So now we're down to 8. Your toss-ups are NC State, Wake Forest, and UNC. Love that the Blue Devils are playing all the in-state teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you go and get the wins? The wins that they will be easily able to get, in my analysis, is Lafayette, Northwestern, UConn, UVA, and Pitt. If I can get to 5 without even asking for a toss-up win, then I, too, am on the over.
I'm on the over. If they had set this at 8.5, I'd be on the over. Wake,
give you my lock.
Wake Forest, 5.5.
I think that's disrespectful.
I 100% agree. Dave Clawson has that in his office right now.
Duke and Wake Forest cannot be properly pinned down. Wake Forest even more so, just because they've been so successful recently. We now have year after year of example. The computers, the power ratings, the projections, they can't nail this team down. No, I assemble a lot of different power ratings and a lot of different models from a lot of different places. I did not take a math class in college. It is not possible for me to have my own original formula to come up with this. So I use lots of different pieces of data. And all of them are low on Wake Forest. And they were low on Wake Forest last year. And they were low on Wake Forest the year before when they played for the daggum ACC championship. They were still low on Wake Forest all the way through. So with win totals, Wake Forest is one of those teams that my colleague Bud Elliott, who does have his own formulas and runs his own numbers, he says, I have to manually put in upgrades for the team in Deacons based on Dave Clawson's program and the way that it continues to beat the computers. So, that's a bold team. It is a team that is Jamal Banks is going to be a dude at wide receiver. Donovan Green's finally healthy again at wide receiver. I understand we just lost A.T. Perry. Mitch Griffiths is a guy that the staff has been excited about for, like, I don't know, he showed up at Wake Forest 9 years ago, ready to come be the next player after Sam Hartman. Hartman just stuck around forever. So I think that the Demon Deacons ultimately are always going to be having their ceiling capped by the defensive side of the football, but they'll score enough points to make the postseason.
5.5. That's a joke. Chip Patterson is here. All right, real quick. NC State on the road at UConn minus 16.5.
Oh, UConn plus the points.
Yeah, I like UConn on the points too. State don't win the game, but I think UConn plus the points.
Listen, I'm telling you, Louisville over 7.5. That's the lock.
Is it?
Remember, I listed the teams that you want to play. Let me just read to you the 8 conference teams that they play: Georgia Tech, Boston College, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Duke, then Pitt, Miami, NC State. But the wins are just right there for Jeff Brohm in year one. You've got 25 transfers coming in. Your old quarterback from Purdue, one of the top wide receivers, and they don't even hit the road until September 29th. They're going to be 4-0 when they show up in Raleigh to play NC State after beating Georgia Tech, Murray State, Indiana, and Boston College. Like, that is going to be the team that is going to be – and they avoid Clemson. They avoid Florida State. That is going to be the team that might be – like, there are teams that are better than their record. They are going to finish high in the standings, but might not be the 4th best team in the ACC, but they might have the 4th best record.
All right, give me quick picks on these. Duke plus 12 at home against Clemson.
Clemson.
Wrong.
Lay the points.
Listen,
Peter Woods.
Right.
I don't know how many of y'all have checked up on this dude, but they've got a freshman defensive lineman who's going to be an instant impact monster. It's going to be insane.
They always do. I'm sure they will. But Duke's still winning that game. Carolina minus 1.5 against South Carolina.
Boy, I don't trust. I would love to have North Carolina plus 2.5. You know,
not minus 1.5.
But at minus 1.5, I tell you what, we take the Tar Heels, because fundamentally, as a man of principle, I am not going to side with Spencer Rattler over Drake May. That is preposterous.
That is preposterous.
We go with Stephen A. Smith.
All right.
Yeah. Let's go.
Gosh. Are you surprised? I'll just throw this at you. USA Today listed the revenue, the athletic department revenues. Ohio State, by the way, topped the list, $252 million. No ACC team came close to $200 million in revenue. Are you surprised that the number one revenue athletic department was Virginia?
A little bit. I was surprised Florida State was ahead of North Carolina. I was surprised that Arizona was ahead of North Carolina.
UNC was pretty far down the list.
They were outside of the top 30. Yeah. South Carolina was higher than North Carolina. Virginia being up there was interesting.
How does that happen?
I do have my off the cuff theory is that they are doing so well in so many different sports that some combination of just straight up ticket sales or stadium sponsorships, that the support for all of the sports might all come together to lead to a little bit of a boost. Maybe. Right there. I mean, like
selling out baseball, selling out the dish. What are they doing?
Yeah, like the in-stadium signage for the baseball team that is obviously doing very, very well right now. The lacrosse team, same thing like that. I would just assume that has to be a factor into why your revenues are there. But I mentioned I'm not great at math, and I'm certainly not good at cooking books like an athletic department, so I have no idea how revenues are really being calculated right now.
All right, final thing for Chip Patterson, Cover 3 Podcast, CBS Sports. Give me three picks at L.A. Country Club for the U.S. Open.
Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, and let's go with DJ as a deep sleeper.
If that's a sleeper, I'm with you. I don't know. I have a hard time saying DJ's a sleeper, but I know he hasn't necessarily challenged lately.
Right. It feels as though there's just so much oxygen around your Rahm, Scheffler, Brooks, and your Morikawa, Cantlay, Max Homa. You know, maybe you throw a little Xander Schauffele in there from San Diego. Yeah. Like, he's going to have some magic right there. But I have hit the point, especially at a championship that, you know, LA hasn't had it in 70 some odd years. You know, we haven't played it at this country club
ever,
but USGA has a type like dating, you know, they set it up. And so I tend to lean towards those who've had success at US Opens, no matter where they are. Like, wind might not be there and we could see a birdie fest, but over the course of the last 8 years, more often than not, it's been about the same type of championship, and it's had the same kind of names in and around the leaderboard. And that's why I'm going with Brooks Koepka.
I mean, I've got Koepka too.
Winner and a runner-up as well in the last 6-7 years.
Koepka, Cam Smith, Tony Finau, my three picks.
Ooh.
Based
you
on
trust
nothing.
Cam Smith?
Yeah. I don't think you have to be all that straight off the tee. I don't. I think this is going to play a little bit more like there's some run-up possibilities. I think it's going to play. You can play the ball along the ground here a little bit more. And I think he's just a demonish putter.
So my Spieth visions have to do with working it out of the thick stuff around the green to be able to set yourself up and scramble a little bit. Always important at any United States Open.
No question. I will talk to you next Wednesday, my friend. I appreciate your time.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
Chip Patterson, the one and only at Chip_Patterson.